You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're talking about the movie Mail Order Monster, and we're joined by director and writer Paulina Lagudi, as well as two of the stars of the movie, Madison Horcher and Emma Rain Lyle. This is a fun one. It's a little out of our ordinary. It's more of a family-driven movie, but it's done very well. It brings us back to our youth, and definitely if you have kids, check this movie out with them. It's awesome. It's got a really great message. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one, open chat room. You can talk to us and the guests. Also, check out the Dorkening Podcast Network over at thedorkening.com. All the other shows on the network are fantastic. Take my word for it. Go subscribe, comment, do what you gotta do. Hey, here's a word from our sponsor, and then guess what? Enjoy the show.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at GetDeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Okay, here we are. With us today, we have Kevin.
What's going on, everybody?
Wolfie.
Arrow!
Tony.
What is going on, peep?
Yo, yo.
Hey, everybody.
And very special guest number one, we have, I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher your name, Paulina Lagudi.
That's it.
Awesome. It. Director
not, not Queen of the Damned. Not Queen of the Damned.
We don't know that.
This is the first time and probably the only time he's going to get it right. After that.
Just stick with the first name.
Yeah. from Mail Order Monster, out on VOD November 6th, correct?
Yeah, 1 week from today.
Awesome. Okay, and she is Sam in Mail Order Monster. We have Madison. How do you pronounce your last name?
Horcher.
Horcher, okay. And your co-star plays PJ in Mail Order Monster. Emma Rain Lyle?
Emma Rain Lyle, yep.
Awesome.
Hi.
Yay.
I think it's weird that the hardest name he got right. And the two names that were like pretty easy, you just messed them up.
Yeah. He took them for granted.
Welcome to the show, guys. Yeah. So, Mail Order Monster. This is definitely not something that we normally, it's like a different style than what we normally talk about on the show, mm-hmm. which is, but it's refreshing, you know, to like mix things up.
Refreshing.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you want to give like a little synopsis. I don't want to give too much away considering it's not out yet.
But, yeah.
Pauline, if you want to give a little synopsis about the, about Mail Order Monster.
Yeah, I've pretty much just been reciting the log line that someone else wrote on IMDb because they did such a great job. And my synopsis ended up always being so long. But essentially, a girl builds a robot-like monster that she receives from the back of a vintage comic book ad in order to get back at her bully. And then ultimately and unexpectedly uses that robot to escape from her father's new marriage.
And that pretty much sums it up.
Sums it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And the girl who builds the monster is Madison. Yeah. You play Sam. And it was awesome. You were great in the movie. It's always impressive to see, like, I mean, I don't know what the budget was on the movie, but I'm assuming it wasn't a gigantic budget. But it's always awesome to see, like, actors that are in lower budget movies that kill it, you know? Yeah. And yeah, pretty much everyone was great. Yeah. And I do have to say that Emma, your character was pretty crude at the beginning. I was like, holy crap, she's saying these things? Like, this is rough. I can't imagine, like, I'm sure you guys built some kind of friendship on the set. Was there any kind of, you know, maybe like, I don't know if I want to say this to her. She's too nice or whatever. Like, what was that like?
Oh, yeah. Me and Madison, we became best friends. We were making raps together.
Yeah.
Offset. We ate lunch together and dinner together, like, every day. So it was like really hard after we built like that friendship and like that respect for each other for me to like push her in a locker and say these certain things. It was definitely difficult, but like, you know, she was all for it. She was like a good sport. So, yeah,
I was
fine.
Now you on. I can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few lines that you said to her that I thought were fairly brutal.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Just real quick, we have a ton of people in the chat room, both on YouTube and Facebook. YouTube, if I miss anybody, please let me know. Or I'll try to get it to everybody. Mama Seal says hi, Madison. My name is Madeline. Aku and company, hi, Madison and Owen and Lane, your old neighbors are watching too. M. Nichols, Keys BW, ton of people in the chat room. If you have questions, please post them. But actually, I think this is a good time for the trailer since we have so many people watching right now. Paulina, would you like to introduce the trailer?
Oh, yeah. How do I introduce it? Love my trailer, please.
Yeah, there we go. So here we go. This is a mail order monster out on VOD next week. So check it out. Here we go.
How was school today?
Fine. Channel
lock. Gotcha. We haven't been to a lot of places since Mom, Sam, but I asked Sydney to marry me.
You think you're so much smarter than everyone else, don't you? Well, newsflash, you're not. Just go back to your stupid little comic books and superheroes.
Get your very own mail order monster. Don't be the schmuck who's pushed around. Frighten your enemies, amuse your friends.
Okay, we are back. Over on YouTube, Keys BW is asking, what should families expect about this movie?
You want me to answer that one?
Sure.
Yeah. There's just so many guests and people. Families should really, based on the responses that I've been getting from families, is that really they should expect to have a good time and be open to a conversation afterwards. You know, earlier we mentioned that the bully like says some pretty intense things, but what's pretty cool about it is that recently, again, like some of the responses we've gotten from especially younger girls is that they've never seen bullying amongst girls portrayed so accurately in a family film. Because that's the thing, is bullying with boys is very different than how girls bully. It's often people who are used to be best friends. So they should expect to have a good time. They should expect to laugh and cry, thanks to Madison with that one. And really just be, you know, make sure you enjoy the family time afterwards. I think there's going to be a lot of great questions and topics that come up afterwards for families, especially blended families. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was one thing when I said I didn't want to say too much about the movie, I didn't know how much I wanted to go into the story of how Madison's character got to where she was. You know, like I didn't want to give too much away, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So I mean, I don't watch a ton of family movies.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that it's something that, you know, maybe something that's more common nowadays because it seems more common with blended families, like you said. Mm-hmm. But so Sam's the character Sam's mom passes, mm-hmm. and
you know, it's some of the really, really mean things that were being said by Emma were a result of that, you know, they were making fun of her because of that.
Yeah.
And that was really like, holy crap. Yeah. That was really tough. But, yeah. But then the father finding a new girlfriend and, you know, figuring like she's finally like realizing, okay, this is going a little bit farther than I thought it was going to go. And just how she dealt with it, I thought was great. And you know, and again, I don't watch too many family movies, so I don't know if there's a lot of movies out there that are like this, but, you know, it was done. I thought it was done very well. Like it also still had, like, I love family movies from when I was a kid. And it still had that kind of vibe to it too.
Well, that's actually a great point. Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, my family movies growing up were, you know, the E.T.s, the Iron Giants, the Goonies and whatnot. And I loved those family movies because they always felt like they were multi-genre movies that were meant for a family. Right. They had horror aspects. They had the mystery aspects. They said some things in there where I'm like, I can't believe that was PG back then. You know what I mean? But they always felt really well-rounded, but they always had also that kind of cheesy factor about them. You know, when you rewatch them today, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cheesy, but they're just such a ride. And live action movie, family movies today, I always just felt like were so vanilla, right? It was always a boy and his dog or da 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 da. And it was just, they didn't really take you on an emotional ride as much as those movies did, but also animated movies today do that. You know, they really have so much going on. I mean, Big Hero 6, one of my favorites, the brother blows up in a fire, you know, that's like, come on, but they can get away with that. I mean, Lion King, dad falls off a cliff. I mean, there's stuff that happens because it's animated. And so I knew I wanted to tell a story that was well-rounded. I know kids deal with trauma in really specific ways. And this movie, when I wrote it, it's very much based on my own life. Like my stepmom came into my life when I was about 13 years old. I grew up with mostly just my dad and my brother. My older sister came in much later. And it was about telling that story. I never found in family movies growing up. You know what I mean? Especially today. I always found them in like the PG-13 or R-rated movies. And so I wanted to make a movie that I would have loved to have, I would have identified with as a kid. And so being able to utilize the comic book elements really helped with that, because that animation allows you to kind of tell some of those little bit harder parts, but in a way that's a lot more approachable for kids. And I think it was just a matter of being able to walk that fine line between, you know, what's real and what's appropriate for the age. And, you know, sometimes we tiptoe the line a little bit, but I think we always bring it back to like kid friendly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, one of the things I love about this movie is Sam is mechanically inclined, you know, for lack of a better term. You know, she comes home and her dad's like, hey, come help me with fit the sink, you know, and she knows what channel locks are at her age. And most people don't. And this was something that I associated with my youth. My grandfather was a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember going over to his house all the time, and he'd have like, he worked for the city. And so he had like police cars in his backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd be like, hey, how many of those channel locks or how many of that? And I was just like, this is such a cool thing that we have a female role model that is mechanically inclined at her age, you know?
Yeah.
Were you like that? Were you?
Well, my dad isn't even mechanically inclined at all.
Okay.
But I'm exactly like, I mean, my dad's name's Paul. I'm Paulina. So he's really into sports. I was always a sports person growing up. He's a businessman. I've always been business inclined. Like my brother and I, when my dad got his first business, we were in the back of the cool room, like chopping the vegetables, you know, when he provided, you know, produce to the hotels in Vegas. So I grew up with my dad and my brother for a long time. So I always grew up around that masculine energy, but also too, like anytime I see females that were like, I think about Transformers and Megan Fox's character, who's mechanically inclined, but like, you know, she's wearing a mini skirt, you know what I mean? With the wind blowing, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I wanted to just tell a story about a kid, you know, male, female, doesn't matter. It's just like, this is a kid, and this is a kid that lives in their mind and their imagination, and they love to, and they've been influenced by their father. And that's how I grew up, is I was never like the girly girl, but I also wasn't a full on tomboy. I kind of just was like I was just a kid that liked a lot of things. And I think that's also something that you know, hopefully boys and girls will relate to. I didn't want it to make it a girls movie. I didn't want to make it a boys movie. You know, I wanted it to be just like about kids. And
it's very relatable.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. And I think you were successful in that. Like, it, like, I didn't identify it as like, oh, the mean girls. I just, like, this is a kid going through a hard time in life and, in, you know, at home and at school. And, you know, and then a monster, a mail order monster comes around.
Yeah.
Which I do want to bring up. I really enjoyed the fact that it was practical.
Thank you.
Because, like,
we were $100 million. I think the guy from Vegas gave it to Leo instead of wiring it to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But we do see a lot of like smaller budget independent stuff that they go CG because they think it's going to be easier, and it does not, like, with the budgets that people are working with, a lot of times it really kind of hinders the movie. And I just love practical effects anyways, but I thought it looked great. I thought it was really cool. And it also made me think of movies from my youth, you know, like it seemed like something that would be in like a family movie from when I was a kid.
Thank you. And cooler. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the special effects makeup show Face Off.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So Nora Hewitt, the season 9 winner, built it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, she did it. She's amazing. And she was on set and she was incredible. But we also knew too, like, there was something about practical effects for actors, and I would love for these two to kind of talk about that, that it's just, you know, especially when you're in a remote location, you're moving really, really fast. Like, for a kid also to remember like a green screen scenario, I just wanted the performances to be very real, very authentic. And also the something you can never get with CG is like the fact that his eyes light up and that plays on her skin. You can't get that in CG. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, what was it like? What was it like working with a practical monster? I don't know if you two have worked with green screen before, but how was that for? I'm sorry, I'm now interviewing the actors.
I was going to go that direction anyway. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I would love for those two to kind of speak on that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I haven't worked with like green screen or anything yet, but having like the monster be like real, I felt like that like added to the scene. Like, it made it like seem really genuine and like realistic. I think it was really fun working with it.
Yeah, Madison, I haven't worked with green screen either, but it was a really interesting experience working with like something that was really right there. And like, I know that my performance, I feel like, came off more realistic because he was really there to work with. It was really easy to like play off.
As opposed to like acting at a tennis ball on a stick, yeah. You know, you're actually like, there's someone there. And I was kind of curious too, I'm assuming someone was like saying the lines while they were in the suit.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's super funny. Cause he's this great little Kentucky actor that tried to put on this little robot voice and it was just great. It was great.
You didn't have the heart to tell him that like, hey, we're going to redo that voice.
Part of me, like all of us in the sound, like sound designing in post, we're all like, oh man, just to keep it maybe in a director's cut.
Oh yeah. Well, that'd be awesome. Like to have like a bloopers reel, not a blooper, but you know, just like on the set.
Well, behind the scenes.
Speaking of director's cut, we have a bunch of questions. I'll try to get to as many of them as I can. So somebody was asking, it comes out on November 6th for VOD. They want to know when it comes out at theaters. It's going to be VOD November 6th. Also, they were asking if it's going to be out on DVD and with special features. So are you planning a physical release as well?
Yeah. So I think recently I just found out we got a Walmart DVD deal. So nice. It will be on DVD, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Two other questions that came in. Where was this movie filmed and how long did it take to make?
Oh, you guys get ready. So 17 days we shot this film. Wow. Crazy. We shot it in Southern Kentucky. So Munfordville, Horse Cave, tiny, tiny towns, an hour and a half north of Nashville, an hour and a half away from a Starbucks. So yeah, very small town. The Starbucks proximity always like really nails it in for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we shot it in, the whole process actually was really fast. So, I purchased an original script with a title called Mail Order Monster from Mark Prey. in October of 2016. I rewrote it entirely and made it my own story. Had a first draft by December 2016. We shot July 2017 for 17 days, and we completed the entire movie by December 2017.
Wow.
Yeah, very fast process. Yeah.
No, it's we hear it all the time. I mean, this is something that's brought up just like weekly about how quick movies are made nowadays. It still blows my mind.
But there's also some movies that take 5 years, you know?
Movies that take 5 years, but.
Yeah, indies, it's tough because for a genre film like mine, turnaround is really important because it's all about the market, right? And what's in the market now may not be in the market, you know, in a year. And I knew that if I sat on this movie too long, we'd miss the market, you know, because so much is changing. I mean, so much has changed within the indie film market, even from a year ago. And I've seen films die sitting in post for 5 years, you know. Granted, if it's a movie that's like, Transformers or a bigger movie or something that's got like Oscar worthiness to it, it can afford to sit in post and most likely should. But as far as the, you know, lower budget, indie, very small scale, 9 times out of 10, getting it out sooner rather than later is usually more beneficial.
And we had a real big question for Madison and Emma. About how to handle bullies. But before we get into that, I do have the new trailer loaded. So we're going to play the new trailer for Mail Order Monster. And it's out on VOD November 6th, just next week. Definitely check it out. So I'm assuming like iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, just about everywhere?
All that, yeah.
Awesome. Here we go.
So I got you something. If you don't like it, we can take it back. No big deal.
Don't be the schmuck who's pushed around. Don't be the wallflower in the crowd. Frighten your enemies, amuse your friends. Get your very own mail order monster. Send this ad with $20 to Merlin's Emporium, Monsters and Magic. Saying that we should make new memories. I don't need new memories or a new mom. We're here.
Hey, how's the comic?
It's one of a kind.
He's
a
yellow Labrador.
Oh,
so such an American dog.
Yes.
Yo-Yo's a cat person.
I have a cat as well. There's a cat right next to him. Yeah.
I'm never more than a couple of feet away from a cat.
Yeah. I think it's the cats are never more than a couple of feet away from him.
Yeah.
And we are back. Yo-Yo, what was the question you had?
On YouTube, we have Mommy Seal asking, did you guys have to go to school while filming, or was this filmed during the summer?
This was filmed during the summer.
Yes. Have you had to do that? Have you had to go to school while filming something?
Yes, I have, actually. I had to recently, and I'm homeschooled, so it's a little easier for me than if I was public schooled. So.
What about you?
Just do my school on the computer
when I'm on set. Nice. And Leo, you had something that you wanted to bring up as well? That
yeah, was in the chat room? Also on YouTube, and I'm sorry if I don't get your name because I can't read all these. okay, let me find it just to give them the...
You think with all those screens.
I know,
huh?
Because the size of
Leo.
You basically have one screen per comment.
Okay, Keys BW was asking about how to handle bullies for Madison and Emma. What are your suggestions for people to handle bullies?
Well, if you are dealing with bullies, then I would say definitely talk to someone like your family or your friends. And there's always someone there, even if you don't think there is.
Yeah, I agree with Madison. But I also feel like you have to feel like confident in yourself and secure with yourself. So then like... You don't feel like people are bringing you down if you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's tough for people, but you know, that's why it's good to have someone there to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, they may help you like kind of bump yourself up a little bit. And then if that doesn't work, you can just buy a monster through the mail from the back of a comic book.
Totally.
But that kind of, you know, so the monster was purchased to help you with your bullies and the people that you don't like, but then it kind of helps. It brings things together for you by the end of the movie. I'm not going to give too much away, but I always feel bad because I want to say certain things and I can't.
Well, speaking, I can help you with that.
All right.
In a way, like kind of. So something that the movie deals with is what helped. And I'm really interested always in this phrase, which is what helped us survive as kids ultimately leads us to our demise as adults. So it's essentially a coping mechanism. You know, the monster is a coping mechanism that ends up actually helping, but then also inhibiting her from so she needs to let go of it, right? In order for her world and for everything to kind of come back together, in order for her to accept new love, we build these coping mechanisms that help us, but then ultimately we have to let them go. So she goes through that throughout the movie.
Well, there you go. That's right.
Symbolism is always a great way to not give things away.
I just wanted to bring up real quick how cool it was how you handled some of the more intricate scenes for the special effects with the comic book panels and stuff. We saw another movie recently that did something similar, which was supposed to have a huge like car explosion special effect, and they just did something simple like that on screen.
Which movie was it?
I'm gonna kill the name. It was the dinosaur pastor one.
Velocipastor.
Velocipastor. You know, that classic. It was actually really fun. It was legit about a
that's awesome.
It's about a priest who turns into a dinosaur.
Oh, I need to see it.
So anyways, no, but
it's
out there.
Wasn't that from Uncorked also?
Yeah.
They should be able to hook you up.
Yeah, just
give them a call. I don't think it was.
Anyways. I liked that, you know, it kind of like flashbacks. Like, it was a really good choice. For a family movie, you know, I'm not a kid, but I still like, oh, that's really neat. I was looking at the textures, everything. I'm like, it was done really well. The art was really good. Everything about it. I was like, I don't know.
Thank you. The guy that he's a great storyboard artist. So we kind of gave him his on-screen debut. He did all the storyboard art for Kick-Ass, and he does a lot like for so many big movies and commercials all the time. And so when we were like, do you want to be on screen? He was like super down and, you know, really hooked it up for us.
Nice.
So just storyboard the movie, and then we'll just use your storyboards in the movie.
Exactly. Basically. What a great trick that was.
Keys BW said awesome advice. Amber H says good advice, girls. Mommy Seal was asking, was there a winner for the monster drawing? And Mike Mullen said, hi, Madison.
Monster drawing.
Monster drawing?
Yeah. We're not sure.
More specific, I guess.
Exactly.
I would be very happy if someone else did a monster drawing for this movie, because that would be pretty cool.
I don't know if maybe he's meaning like, hey, you can win the monster from the movie. Yeah.
Did they want to be the winner? Do they just want to win it?
I kinda wanna be the winner. I'd be cool to have in the corner of my room.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I have the monster in the back of my car, So
do you really? You use it so you can get through the
carpool lanes.
Yeah. I think it's awesome that the only guy here who doesn't drive knew carpool lanes before I did. Just wanted to bring that up.
So just out of curiosity, I mean, I'm gonna ask this of all of you, but what was the hardest thing about making this movie? Let's start with you, Paula.
The hardest thing. Wow, there's so many hard things to choose from. Hardest thing was time. Well, time. I mean, it's hard to say time and money because it's like that's obvious for indie films. But 17 days. Because here's the thing too. It's like so Madison was 12 when we shot it, right? So for SAG rules, we could never work her more than 9 hours, but it's a 1 hour lunch. So really 8 hours. And then when you factor in hair and makeup and everything, it's actually less than 8 hours every day. And she's in 144 out of 154 scenes. So we were shooting up to, you know, on average, like easily 13 scenes in less than 8 hours, almost every day. On top of that, doing all of our pickups and reshoots were added to the schedule because we knew we couldn't come back to Kentucky. Time, we were doing, I think, on average, like 3 takes. Oftentimes, it was just 2. I think the most takes we ever did for a scene was 6. That felt like excessive. So when I hear about people doing 27 takes, it always cracks me up.
doing 27 takes, they maybe don't have the right person acting. Yeah.
It's always on the big movies. But for me, that was a big challenge.
The hardest thing for me was like the weather, I think, and the bugs. That was hard for me.
Not a weather or bug fan?
No. It was really hot and humid. I'm from Florida, so like I kind of understand, but I hadn't been there in a while, so I was like,
it was bad.
Yeah, the bugs in Florida are nasty.
Yeah, you can put a saddle on them. Yeah, they're gross.
Yeah.
And
Emma?
The hardest part for me was probably being mean to Madison.
Oh.
Well, just because, like, me and her, you know, we were, like, friends off set. So, like, you know, but we worked through it.
Yeah.
And it was, like, legit. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I need to know how difficult this was. So that, like, you sold it. You sold it really well. And I was just like, who's coming on the show?
You.
I'm like, good, she's coming on the show. I need to find out how she could do that and be like,
It's acting, Kev.
Yeah, totally. This the thing is, like, I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Apologizing.
I'd be like, "You're this. I'm wicked sorry."
Here's a dollar. I hate to break it to you, but you know all those moves you like where people die? They don't really die.
What? I assumed it would come back. Oh no, I got a lot of thinking to do.
So we got a couple minutes left. M. Nichols was asking, "Will there be a second film if this movie is a success?" And also, let's talk about your future projects. So, Paulina, do you have plans for a sequel or a prequel or?
I think the story is summed up pretty well.
Honestly, this happens a lot, especially I would say with indie films today. They're like, "Oh, cool, my indie was a success. I'm going to make a sequel." And honestly, like I'm not about that. As much as I'm, you know, a producer and I'm all about the business side of things, I'm also, you know, I have some artistic integrity here, and I really think the movie stands on its own. I would love to make, you know, dive into these different subjects within different scenarios. You know, I don't think we need Mom Goes to College, so. You know, Mail Order Monster, it's the one and only. Rent it multiple times if you want to see it multiple times. And as far as future projects go, because of Mail Order Monster, it was super cool. I was hired to write another now true story family movie that is based on a viral story that went around in Brazil of this old man and this penguin. So that's pretty cool. I've never written a true story before, so this has been a lot of fun. And I've got a few of my own projects I'm working on as well, always developing new stories. And I've recently been fortunate enough to be collaborating with a lot of other people and whatnot. But this movie's taken up so much of my life. We just got back from Portland for the film festival for this movie. So it's going to be weird when this is out there. And I'm like, wow, I don't actually have to do anything for me.
How did it do in the film festival? Did people like it?
Oh, they did. It was really cool. I mean, Portland Film Festival is a kind of a funny festival. They pack a lot in a week. So there was a lot of overlap with different things. But Charisma Carpenter was at the festival, which was really great. And she's, you know, so she really had a great time at the festival and just said so many great things about the movie, which was nice, and about, you know, all of us that made it and everything, and Emma and Madison. So that was a lot of fun.
We just saw Charisma at
Super Mega Fest.
Yeah, Super Mega Fest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's always going to all the conventions and whatnot. But Mail Order Monster was really, Mail Order Monster is really interesting to be in a festival because, like, so much nowadays in those festivals is just so dramatic and, like, politically driven that it was like, and Mail Order Monster is next after this movie about women's rights and immigration.
But it still has, the thing is, though, it's Mail Order Monsters, but it still has a very important message.
Totally.
So,
Nice happy ending, which is
So I know the girls, you guys have been working on a lot of things. You guys, I was looking at your IMDb's, very impressed with both of you. So who wants to go first on what you guys are working on? Who wants to go first?
Recently, like about a few weeks ago, I just finished working on The Rookie, the new like cop show, and that was really fun. And that was like another emotional role for me. And a few months ago, I also did Think Like a Dog with Gabriel Bateman and Isaac Wang. That was super fun because I got to work with dogs and I had never did that before. And yeah, that's what's going on this year.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And I recently booked a lead in a film and I start filming in 2 weeks. So I'm super excited for that. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's amazing. Congrats.
Thank you.
That is.
Yeah,
we're gonna see a lot of them.
Yeah, definitely. It's the amount of talent that was there, like on the screen, and just like I don't know. It was just I've been saying it a lot recently, which is a good thing. But you know, there's a lot of times you can see a weak link in a movie, and right. That wasn't the case in this one.
I guess so.
but that's the thing is, like, I've been saying that a lot recently, which I think is awesome. You know,
just goes to show there's a lot of really good talent out there.
Exactly, but there's also a lot of really good talent that are in the indie field.
Yeah,
you know,
that's part of out there. I mean, so
we're happy for it. No, totally. The fact that there's, I'm happy that good talent, because there's always good talent, but I'm happy that good talent is being recognized and actually being cast. That's the cool thing too, because so many just don't get a chance. You know, and I love that these. I was just so lucky to have these two and Josh and Charisma as well. Everyone just had such great chemistry.
Yeah.
All right. You guys did a great job. We want to remind everybody this comes out November 6th next week on VOD. And then did you have a date for DVD?
Nope.
Okay.
But I will let you know.
Sounds good. You were going to say, Kevin?
I was going to say, like, we didn't really hear from Yo-Yo and Tony about their thoughts on the movie. Like, what did you guys, because I know Tony's an 80s guy. I know Yo-Yo's an 80s guy. You know, as far as like movie wise, like you guys love the stuff in the '80s. Did you feel like it had the same kind of vibe?
Yes, well, definitely.
Yeah, Iron Giant was mentioned, and I was sitting there. I'm like, this kind of has that feel to it, and it just has, you know, it brought me back to my childhood. And you know, the other thing too, it kind of when she ordered it through the magazine, it kind of brought Creepshow to my mind too. So it kind of brought in the little horror aspect of it. But overall, I mean, you know, I'm more of a, you know, we said it, we're more of a horror show, but you know, I felt happy when I was watching it. I had a smile on my face. It would, but to tell you the truth, the whole aspect behind it, it brought light to a tough situation. I'm sure a lot of people watching it might have something, you know, going on maybe around the same thing, you know, and it brought light to something good.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have to admit, I actually started crying a couple minutes into the movie, because actually this year is 3 years since I've lost my mom.
Oh my god, that's unreal.
So that part kind of hit me in the feels. So.
Oh my gosh, it's so incredible. I mean, I'm so sorry about your mom, but that's like how, you know, what a cool connection.
Yeah. And I'm also his bully, so it works out. This
such a personalized story.
Yeah, yeah, yep. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry, guys.
That's really, I know. It's really, really cool to hear. I love that. Thank you.
Silence.
What about Leo? I mean,
yeah, Leo, you didn't like
you didn't have to turn the lights. You kept the, you know, you turned the lights off for this movie, actually.
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah, you watched it with his neck up.
Exactly. No, I played on Mac, so I just had I really enjoyed the movie. You know, it definitely had you know, that nice, like, I, being the dork that I am, I watched a lot of family movies growing up and stuff. So it definitely, if I can speak correctly, it definitely had that vibe. I love the use of, you know, the old, like, mail-in for the comics, you know?
Yes.
Because you don't really have those nowadays, you know?
Even when I was younger and I would buy old back issues, I'd go through that and be like, I really wish this still worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to order this stuff and I just can't, because it's like, not only is it cool stuff, but it's like super cheap too. $20 for that thing? $20 for that monster? Come on.
How much did it actually cost? Because I saw a lot of change going through. Did it, was a couple bucks for the mail?
Oh, like how much did it cost me to build it?
No, just to order it. I want to order it. And it looks like it was like, you know, $1.50.
Yeah.
With all the chains, so.
Yeah. Well, our whole backstory on this monster, because that actually also too, that part is from the original script that I bought from Mark Praise. I kept that part in there. And our whole backstory of it is that, like, you've got this Merlin's Emporium that's like really should be out of business, but it's not. So he's like really holding on there. And so by the time people like get the monster, it's just completely like a mishmash of like old crap. So initially back in the day, it would have been something really, really fancy and nice for the $20. But now, because it's like this rundown business, it's like its eyes are two different sizes. It's like this thing that he's kind of thrown together.
Kinds of metal. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. She's put adding things to it. So yeah, that's part of it. It's kind of a ripoff.
I love the fact that it's called Merlin's Emporium. That was something that I thought about. I was like, oh, Merlin, you know, it's like, hey, it's you send away for something and you get like this little magical box, you know, Merlin, the magician from Arthur's times.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That comic book too, the one that we made, I mean, is originally made by a cool graphic designer. He does a lot with PAX, or with Penny Arcade, actually, you know, was part of PAX.
Oh, nice. Yep.
Yeah. And he's really, really cool, very talented guy. And yeah, we like really made a real comic book for the movie, which is cool. There's a story in it and everything that like parallels the film. It's a lot of fun.
If things blow up, you can, you know, make a bunch of them and just have it be like a collectible.
Oh, absolutely.
Along with a little figure of the mail order monster.
I know. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, but she's got the real mail order monster in her back of her car. So she doesn't need it. Sure.
Well, we're at the 9 o'clock hour. Anything else we should bring anything up? Or
just go get this on VOD on the 6th.
Yeah.
And then buy when it comes out on DVD.
When it comes out on DVD, run to your local Walmart and buy it. And then and then be on the lookout for these awesome actresses coming your way the rest of your lives. How about that?
Oh, well, one thing we didn't with the DVD, do you know if there's going to be any special features?
We're kind of going back and forth on it. A part of it's up to me and what kind of special features I want to include, but just to
I say this every week and I'm going to say it again, commentary.
Yeah.
Oh, like my personal commentary?
Yeah.
Yours, maybe get
I was
like,
going to do that, but like on social media.
No. I am a commentary person when it comes to DVD. I will put it in and I'll listen to like what the director has to say. And if he has like an actor or two there talking about like everything that happened on the set or behind the scenes or whatever while they're I'm big time a commentary fan.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We've got these EPK videos that I was thinking about including into the DVDs. So yeah, I'll let you know about that.
You should do a commentary of the mail order monster in the costume doing commentary, but you can't understand him.
I very much am going to do like an entire IGTV video of like the monster next to me and just reading reviews and comments of things. And anytime it's not great, I'm just going to cover the monster's like metal ears and stuff and be talking to it and cutting it.
That'd be awesome. Just push it over and watch it try
weird,
to
weird monster helmet next to me.
get the girls involved, have them sit there and do commentary also. I mean, It's one of my big things. I don't know about the other guys, but it's something I always look for.
Not everyone watches special features, but I'm definitely a special, like the Lord of the Rings, like special editions.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings stuff.
It's like I watch that more than I watch the movie. But whatever.
Yeah,
well, that's why I go physical all the time with the special features. I mean, it's just not the. I mean, now I guess with VOD, they're kind of sending the special features more, but. Yeah. You need the physical copy to get everything behind the scenes, the bloopers and stuff.
There's times where you just want to watch this special features. So, I mean,
yeah, you've already seen the movie a couple times. You're just like, all right, now I just want to know what happened like during it. That's it. But anyways, so yeah, we'll wait and we'll when it comes out, we'll buy it and we'll be like, oh, where's the special features?
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. I'm gonna talk to my distributor about this.
All right.
Sounds good. Well, we urge you definitely to check out Mail Order Monster. It comes out November 6th, and you can find out more information in the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching or listening to us. And with that, we'll catch you guys later. Have a good night.
Goodbye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And The Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.